Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
But if you do have your Bibles, go to the book of John, chapter number 16, and we're going to start reading in verse number 7. And we're going to read a few verses here to you, and maybe we can teach you something tonight. I'm probably going to pull back the reins a little bit, not preach so much to you, but I just want to be in the will of the Lord, and I believe this is what the Lord wants us to be at tonight, and to teach us tonight, and just remind us of some things, and nothing new under the sun, but just to remind us of some things tonight. So if you have your Bibles, go to the book of John, chapter number 16, verse number 7. The Bible says this, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." Now, if you have a red letter Bible, these words are in red. So keep that in mind, that this is the Lord Jesus speaking here. He says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he was come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whosoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glory me, for he shall receive of mine, and he shall show unto you all things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he, let me read it right. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. Verse number 16, a little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, ye shall not see me, because I go to the Father. Jesus, Lord, I thank you for what you do for us, God. God, I pray, God, that you'll have put a blessing on your word tonight, God. I pray, God, that you'll touch us. Guide our minds, God. I pray, God, that we can be able to teach tonight, God, and just do what you would have us to do, God. And God, I thank you for all that you do and all that you're going to do, God. Do something special tonight in this live feed, God. And we'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I was getting ready to study for tonight, and I had a thought running through my mind this past week, and this was another one of those thoughts I couldn't get away from. And this is the thought of that our churches don't have a lot of doctrine preached in them no more. At our church, we see a lot of doctrine preached. Our pastor makes sure that all of our people are caught up and up to date on the doctrines of the Bible. That's one truth. But you know, that's not always true around the world. That's not always true around all the churches around. But tonight, I want to look at the doctrine of the Holy Spirit tonight, and I want to preach a little while on just the thought of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit and just some truths about the Holy Spirit tonight, and I don't think we could ever learn enough about the Holy Spirit. You know, I try my best to, as when I was studying for this, to try to wrap my head around what the Holy Spirit truly is and exactly what it means that God had to leave and His Comforter, the Holy Spirit, came unto us. And so I hope to be just a blessing to you. So if there was ever a doctrine in the Bible that we could say a lot about, it'd be the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. That's because God has filled our Bible with the Holy Spirit from Genesis to Revelation. You can find Him throughout all Scriptures. You can find Him, He's working in the Old Testament. He's working in the New Testament. And we find that He's working in things to come in the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. And we know that God places a very high importance upon the Holy Spirit. Some of the last words that the Lord shared with the disciples before He ascended was to go and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and who? The Holy Ghost. We can find that in Matthew 28, 19. Paul understood the importance that the Lord was trying to get across to the Christian. In 2 Corinthians 13, 14, he talks about communion with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is important because if we sin against the Holy Spirit, we have no one to defend us. So tonight I want to take just a few minutes, and I'll probably not be long at all tonight, but I do want to take just a few minutes and talk about the Holy Spirit. Number one tonight, let's take a look at the person of the Holy Spirit. The person of the Holy Spirit. You realize this right here, that when Jesus created the heavens and the earth, or when God created the heavens and earth, in Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 1, the existence of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost is evident in all of it. Jesus said, I believe it's in verse number 2, he talks about, this is Genesis 1-2, he talks about how the Spirit of God swept across the land. And here's the thing, that just tells, that verse right there alone is a verse, and I'll just say this, and I won't charge you anything for it, but that verse alone right there is the verse that challenged me to stay in the King James Bible. I was in college as a probably 18, 19-year-old, and I was in the library one day, and I saw a Bible. That was not a King James Bible, probably the first one that I had ever saw. I probably lived a sheltered life at that point. But it was probably the first one that I'd ever saw that was not. And I don't remember what it was, if it was the Message or the NIV or the ABCD or the whatever it was. I don't remember. I just know that it was a different Bible than the King James Bible. And I opened it up and I said, you know what? I know the first two verses. Let's just go see if there's anything different. Well, I read verse number 1 and I said, that sounds pretty close. Well, then I read verse number 2 and I said, Dad, there's something wrong there. That don't sound right. In that version, or perversion, if you want to look at it that way, it looked like, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it said a great wind. And I'm here to tell you, you know, that word great is a big word. It's a complex word. But at the same time, let me tell you what, it wasn't just some wind that swept across the country or across the world. It was the Spirit of God. It was the Spirit of God that swept across. And I think this world wants us to forget about the Holy Spirit and forget about it. But we're going to look at the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, the person of the Holy Spirit is affirmed by His attributes. It's affirmed by His attributes. Look at this right here. He has the mind of God. The Holy Spirit tonight does not have a human mind. The Holy Spirit does not have, he has His own mind, but that mind is the mind of God. That means He's not sitting on a throne somewhere. God is not sitting on a throne somewhere, and He's just sitting there barking orders at us. God Himself is dwelling around us in the form of the Holy Spirit, of that form of it, and so He has the mind of God. Not only does He have the mind of God, but He has the means of God. He has the means of God. That means everything that you can think of about God, you can also claim it for the Holy Spirit. He's good. He's Alpha and Omega. That's the Holy Spirit. He's the beginning and end. Yeah, that's the Holy Spirit. You know what? He's righteous. He's the bright and morning star. That's the Holy Spirit tonight. That's who it is, because they're three in one and one in three. The reality that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are three in one and one in three is sometimes hard to understand. It's hard to wrap our head around how one person can be three separate entities yet exactly be the same. It's hard to comprehend, but can I tell you this right here? Today, I don't understand how a brown cow can eat green grass yet produce white milk. I still don't understand that. But yet, you know what? I believe it. You know, I don't understand why the sky's blue, but when I walked out today, it was gray today. But somewhere above there, it was blue. I don't understand why the grass is green, but guess what? In the springtime, my grass, hopefully, if Colt don't kill it between now and then, my grass will be green. Do I understand it? No, but do I believe it? Yes. And that's what we got to do with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, is not try to figure Him out. Quit trying to wrap our head around. We realize He's incomprehensible, but at the same time, He's irresistible. And understand that we got to quit trying to wrap our heads around Him and just sell out that God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, and believe it, and put our head down and keep trucking. That's what the Lord wants us to do tonight. But we see that the person of the Holy Spirit is affirmed by His attributes. We see the person of the Holy Spirit is affirmed by His actions. Look at this right here. It's affirmed by that. His work in creation in Genesis 1-2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. That's what I talked about a minute ago. That ain't some great wind. That ain't some big, I love weather. And one of the most interesting things is understand, when you're understanding weather, you've really got to understand the winds. You've got to understand how the winds work, and that the fact that a thunderstorm more than likely is not going to rise in the east and come west. It's just not going to in the area in which we live. It's going to rise in the west and probably move east. Now, I understand that there's hurricanes and different things, but you've got to understand winds. And so one of my favorite maps to study and to look at, especially when it comes this time of the year, and I'm just begging for some snow, but those old winds just ain't looking like it's going to snow anytime soon. That's what we look for. You watch how the winds, the jet stream. And that great wind that it's talking about was the Spirit of God. It was talking about the Spirit of God was upon the face of the deep. And our darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. because of his actions in creation. We see because of his actions commissioning. I'll get my words right here in a minute. His work in commissioning. Looking at in Zechariah, chapter number 4, verse number 6, the Bible says this, "Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by my might, nor by my power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." We cannot do anything in our own power or in our own might, but it's got to be of the Lord and his spirit. That's what it's going to take. We see that it's affirmed by his actions in creation. We see it's affirmed by his work in commissioning. We see it's confirmed by his work in conviction. In John chapter number 16 in our text verse, "Nevertheless, I tell you, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and see ye, and ye see me no more, and of judgment because the prince of this world is judged." We see that it was in conviction. You know, I can say thank God for the Holy Ghost power of conviction. You know, as a Christian, I've got convictions in my life that when I see some things, I just got to back away from it. You know, I got a friend request the other day of a guy I hadn't talked to in many years. But you know what? Some of the things that he had posted, I couldn't accept his friend request. I really wanted him to be able to see some of the things that we share, but you know what? I don't want a bunch of that garbage on my Facebook page. It's convictions, folks, and it comes from the Holy Spirit tonight. It's not some conscience that I have that's in my ability, but it's in my inability that God shows me where I'm wrong at. That God shows me where I'm wrong at. We see right here, look right here, and we see it. Not only we see his actions in creation, his action in commissioning, his actions in conviction. We also see his actions and his work in convincing. Look at John chapter number 16, verse number 8. He says, "And when he is come, he will reprove the world in sin and righteousness and of judgment, convincing this world that they are sinners." Is where the Holy Ghost, I can look at somebody and say they're dying and going to hell, but until the Holy Ghost puts a conviction on their heart, they'll never believe it on their own. They won't do it. That's how the Holy Spirit works. We see the person of the Holy Spirit. Now let's take a look at the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. His power is revealed in Jesus Christ. If you got your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. I'm going to turn over here. I thought I had it marked. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. I'll get there in just a second. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 3, the Bible says this, and my pages are sticking together. Chapter number 12, verse number 3, the Bible says this, "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost." The Holy Ghost can only convince somebody that Jesus Christ is Lord because of the power that is in the Holy Ghost. You know, I can stand behind the pulpit and preach till I'm blue in the face that Jesus Christ is Lord. You know, I can go to the street corner and preach as hard as I want to. I can be as aggressive as some and get in their face and holler and scream and tell them they're lost and dying and going to hell. But if the Holy Spirit don't act on their life and don't work on their life, they'll never realize that it's the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't understand as a 6-year-old little boy how I sat in my mom and daddy's room and was worried and scared, and how that I went over there and started talking to mama, and mama asked me if I wanted to be saved, and she hollered for daddy to come in there and lead me to the Lord. I can't understand the fear that was inside of me. I also can't understand that deep settled peace that was settled when I prayed that night and asked the Lord God into my heart. I don't understand it all, but I'm thank God for the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit that works in our lives tonight. I'm so thankful for it. The Holy Spirit is the only one that has the power to reveal Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. In John chapter 15, I believe it's actually, I'm thinking I got the wrong text here. In John chapter number 16, let me look right here where it talks about, he says, the Comforter, verse number 7, he says, the Comforter will not come unto you. The Comforter will not come unto you. One of the things I remember that when I was lost, and I know I got saved at a young age, and the Lord saved me from a lot of things, but when I got saved, I remember that comfort that I felt that night. when I went back to my bed and I laid down and laid my head for the most peaceful rest I'd had in a long time. It was that comfort of God that surrounded me that can only be explained by the Holy Spirit tonight. That's all that I can tell you tonight. It wasn't nothing I'd done. It wasn't nothing Mom and Daddy done. But it was what the Lord done way back on Calvary when He died so that the Comforter could leave the ivory palaces of heaven and come as the Spirit and live inside me and dwell in me and give me that peace that passeth all understanding. We see His power in revealing Jesus Christ. We see His power to reprove the world of sin. Well, chapter 16, verse number 8 talks about how the Lord, the Comforter, will come and reprove the world of sin. Reprove means to convict the world of sin and bring sin to light. Can I tell you what, folks? If we try to change America, we will probably fail. We'll probably make more people mad than good. But can I tell you what? If the Holy Spirit and the people will allow the Holy Spirit to work and move and have free reign through every hall, through every doorway, through every mountain, through every hills, through every ocean of this great land that we live called the United States. If the Holy Spirit can have free reign up and down every one of them, if He could have it, then this whole world would see the reprove of sin and they would realize that, you know what, it's not right for two women to live together. You know, it's not right for two women to get married. It's not right for two men to get married. It's not right that we have all this language on TV. It's not right that we have all this other stuff that goes on in our world. It's not right that we sit here and drink a little alcohol every once in a while. But it's because we need the Holy Spirit to start working in our lives and to start allowing the Holy Spirit to move so that He can have free reign and convict people and reprove that sin. That is the power of the Holy Spirit tonight. He has the power to do what it is that needs to be done. And that's the Holy Spirit tonight. We see the person of the Holy Spirit. We see the power of the Holy Spirit. Then we see the performance of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit provides life. Without the Holy Spirit in our lives, we are under the curse of the law. Since we are all sinners, this means we are destined to the punishment in hell. But there is good news for those who make Christ head of their lives. That Jesus came so that the Holy Spirit could have free reign and work in people's lives and convict them of their sin, and that He could start dwelling in them. That when the Lord saw through the sin, He looked through the blood and didn't see that person standing there. He looked through the blood and saw none other than His Son, Jesus Christ, living in that sinner. We see that tonight. That's the performance of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit provides the presence of God in our hearts. Romans 5:5 says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. That's in Romans 5:5. We see the performance of the Holy Spirit. We see the power of the Holy Spirit. We see the person of the Holy Spirit. But then we also see this one. This is a big one. I had to look this word up because I needed a P word to make it match. The prerogative of the Holy Spirit. The prerogative of the Holy Spirit. Think about this right here. Prerogative means a right or a privilege exclusive to a particular individual or class. It means a right or a privilege. Can I just say this right here? We have a privilege that the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. We have that privilege. Think about this right here. We see the prerogative of the sealing of the Holy Spirit. The sealing of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 12, 1-22, who have also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. We are sealed, folks. If you're saved today, I got some good news. You know, you may have messed up this morning. You may have messed up last night. But I got some good news for you tonight. The Holy Spirit's dwelling in you. And if you'll ask forgiveness, you can 1 John 1:9 that sin. And He'll be faithful enough to forgive you of your sins tonight. We see the prerogative of the Holy Spirit and the sealing of the Holy Spirit. We see the prerogative of the Holy Spirit in the settling of the Holy Spirit. There was a day in my life that I got the Holy Ghost all filled up inside me. And when I was a 6-year-old little boy, as I was telling you earlier, I got saved. The Holy Spirit was dwelling in me as much then as it is today. I got as much as I could ever get. I can't handle no more of Him. But there was a day in my life that I didn't realize what had happened. And that was that same day that I got saved. You may say, preacher, what are you talking about? I promise you, as a young Christian, you don't fully understand what the Lord has done for you. You don't fully understand what the Holy Spirit has done in your life. Can I tell you this right here? I got saved as a six-year-old little boy. I'm 30 years old now. That means I've been saved for 24 years. And I promise you, at this point in my life, I still don't understand all that the Lord done for me. I still don't understand why He done it for me. I still don't understand it all. But there was a day, I can take you back. I can take you back to the day I got saved. But I can also take you back to the day driving up old Poplar Springs Road in a 1999 Nissan Sentra that used more oil than it did gas and had snowed, and there was snow all over the ground. And I can take you right to the hillside that I topped over, and I looked across all the fields and they were white because it had just snowed. And God settled in my heart that day. He said, "You're not going to be perfect, son. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to sin. But I promise you, if you'll ask forgiveness of those sins, your sins will be as white as these fields are with snow." That's how white the Lord did it. I'm thankful for the day I got saved, but I'm also thankful for the day I got settled in my heart that the Lord Jesus Christ had saved me from my sins. We see the prerogative of the Holy Spirit. Then we see, we saw the performance of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the person of the Holy Spirit. But lastly, and I'm probably going to change gears here just for a second, I see lastly the potential of the Holy Spirit. The potential of the Holy Spirit. Romans 12:1 says this, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." All the other points that I had leading up to this one, it all had to do with what the Holy Spirit can do and what the Holy Spirit has done. But this final point right here on the potential of the Holy Spirit, that lies between me and you. You know, this Holy Spirit can have uninterrupted movement in our churches. It can have uninterrupted movement in this world, in our workplace, but we are what lies in its way. We are what lies in its way. The one thing that a Christian can do to make the devil tremble is to be Spirit-filled and live the life that the Spirit has full control over. Living a Spirit-filled life will make Satan tremble. It'll make Satan tremble, and it'll let the Holy Ghost have free reign. Imagine if you just lived up to the potential of the Holy Spirit. Imagine if you lived up and you done exactly what God called you to do, and you lived that Spirit-filled life, no matter your personality. Every personality is great, but the greatest ones are those that are lived filled to the Holy Spirit. I believe we've got glimpses of the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe we see people like Paul, and we all know the stories and what Paul done. There was potential of the Holy Spirit. I see potential in the Holy Spirit of Dr. Percy Ray and all the wonderful things that he did in his lifetime and the church that he built. I see the potential in the Holy Spirit when I think of all these other great men of God that's gone on before us. We see the potential of the Holy Spirit, but what are we going to allow? What are we going to allow? Think about this right here. The Spirit regenerates us and causes us to be born again. The Spirit leads us in our deeper knowledge of Christ. The Spirit guides us into the truth. The Spirit empowers us to be witnesses for Christ. The Spirit produces His fruit in our lives. The Spirit gives us victory over the flesh. The Spirit helps us pray. The Spirit gives us spiritual gifts. The Spirit sets us free from us being selfish, sets us free from our pride. The Spirit transforms us to become more like Christ. The Spirit gives us a heart of worship, and the Spirit makes us bold to speak God's word. And think about what the potential of the Holy Spirit is. The potential of the Holy Spirit lies within me and you. What are you doing in your life tonight that is hindering the work of the Holy Spirit in your workforce? What are you doing in your life where the Holy Spirit is not working fully in His potential in your life? Where I can see faults in my life, I can see where I failed and where I messed up. You know what? I got to get that right with God. I want the Holy Spirit to have free reign. In the world in which we live, there are so many religious people that are not rightly divided on the purpose of the Holy Spirit. These days are days of great deception, and Satan is hard at work. Satan's goal is to make this lie look and appear to be scriptural. Satan knows that if he can sound like the Bible and make something appear to be the Bible, then he can get a Christian to believe that it is the Bible. Shakespeare said it best when he said this, "He," talking about Satan, "he lies like the truth." Those with a superficial knowledge or no knowledge of the Scriptures are in great danger. Whether they know it or not, let us constantly prove all things by the Word of God. And so order our lives that we grieve not the Holy Spirit and the Savior and Lord whom He exalts. So I want to ask you tonight again, there's a potential in the Holy Spirit. There's a potential for the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. Are we letting it go, or are we missing the opportunities? I preached this morning on a life of Ishmael, and that his life was full of opportunities. His life was slam full of opportunities, but he missed it. The Holy Spirit was not working in his life. The Holy Spirit was not working in his life. So I want to ask you tonight, what are you doing to get the Holy Spirit free reign in your life? What are you doing tonight, church? I hope that you'll take this and use it as a lesson to understand the Holy Spirit and to try to wrap your mind around the Holy Spirit. But most importantly, that we'll wrap our head around that there's a potential in the Holy Spirit that is so real and so big of what the Lord can do in our lives if we'll just let Him. But so many times we let pride get in the way. We'll let sin creep up, and then we'll miss God by 100 miles. So I just pray tonight that you would, wherever you're at in your home tonight, would you pray that the Holy Spirit would have free reign in your life?